Dr. Larry Kaskel. You should listen to him if you know what's good for you. Of course, you should listen to him even if you don't know what's good for you. Here's the healthy skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, and you're listening to The Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD. Estimates indicate that the United States invests over $2.5 trillion in our healthcare system, and yet we perform poorly on many key health measures, such as life expectancy and infant mortality, when compared with other countries that actually spend less, employ less medical technology also. My guest today is one of many experts that believe the underlying problem rests in our overuse of healthcare services, which ultimately has the paradoxical effect of making us sicker instead of healthier. Shannon Brownlee is a noted essayist and journalist known for her research and views on avoidable healthcare, the patchy quality of medical evidence, and the implications for healthcare policy. She's the author of Overtreated, Why Too Much Medicine is Making Us Sicker and Poorer, which was named the best economics book of 2007 by the New York Times. Shannon, welcome to the show.
My pleasure, Larry. I'm glad to be on.
Shannon, in your book, you use actual, real, live examples of doctors, and you talked a little bit about a chief of radiology who lives in this constant state of what you call cognitive and moral dissonance. He is torn between wanting the newest and best toys, or CAT scans, or MRIs, and at the same time, he has to teach his staff how to temper the usage of those toys. Can you elaborate a little bit about how most doctors are stuck in that state?
Well, he's in a particularly tough spot because as head of radiology at an academic medical center, he knows that part of the bread and butter of his department is the ability to deliver on profitable scans. And so he needs to buy machines that are going to make it possible to deliver more and more of these scans. And at the same time, he also knows that we're delivering too many of them and that they actually pose real risk to patients when you get unnecessary radiation, especially for children. So, and this is, in fact, kind of emblematic of many, much of what we face in American healthcare today, which is that the economic imperatives of hospitals and often of doctor practices require delivery of more and more services because of how we get paid, while people who understand the vast amount of overtreatment are worrying about their patients and saying, gee, you know, the economic imperatives are at odds with what's right for my patients.
Right. So in my practice, I am an employed physician. I used to be in private practice, but our income, I don't think most people are aware of it. It's kind of a dirty little secret that it is based on productivity. We get paid based on what we do. If we do more, we get paid more. And it's interesting how doctors are always able to maintain their salary. It's a screwed up system. And do you have a better model?
Well, it's a really screwed up system, and I think it's going to have to be changed really from top to bottom. And a lot of what we're talking about these days is health. When we say healthcare reform, what people have in mind is kind of tinkering around the edges, when in fact we really need to rethink why do we invest so much in healthcare in the first place, and who is really served by the system that we have, and is there a better system?
Right,
there
so
are models
the book,
of better systems out there, in fact.
Right. So where in the world do you think has a system that is better and that we could actually adopt if we were brave enough?
Well, I'm going to give you one caveat here. Everybody in the developed world, Western Europe, Eastern Europe, the Mediterranean, any developed country that has a healthcare system, whether it's single payer, whether it's fee-for-service, whether it's salaried physicians, whether it's a budget-based system, they're all facing rising, escalating healthcare spending. And so it's not as if somebody has found the magic answer, number one. Number two, other countries also suffer from the problem of overuse. This is sort of astonishing, I think, when you think that, say, a single-payer system like Norway's, for example, or Sweden's, which really do have many, many aspects about them that are really superior to the United States, yet they also have the problem of unnecessary care. On top of that, we have the problem of underuse. We have underinsurance and uninsurance, which blocks access to care. But even if you have insurance, you don't always get what you need. So we're grappling with many of the same problems across systems. That caveat said, the Swedish system, for example, and the Norwegian system, they have hospital districts. Their hospitals are budgeted, and they are responsible for the care of the population in their districts. So they have an incentive to keep costs down, to try not to overtreat too much, but to also make sure that patients get the care that they really do need.
Right. So you wrote this book 7 years ago, and this was pre-Obamacare. We now have one of the things you said in the book was one of the problems that we needed to get more people insured. We have done that, and you hypothesized that once that happened, we might get better medicine. What? Fast forward 7 years. What's your current assessment?
Okay. Well.
Unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way.
I may have painted too rosy a picture. The Affordable Care Act is a flawed piece of machinery. It will reduce the number of uninsured. Is it really going to control costs? That's really hard to say, and it doesn't seem that likely. But it has done one good thing, which is it is getting more people insured. Now that people are insured, can we just stop fussing about that piece of it and start looking at how the delivery system works? And that's what our next task is going to be, is how do we make this delivery system really do what it's supposed to do, which is to care for the sick, to relieve suffering, to try to help people stay as healthy as possible.
And are you optimistic, Shannon?
Not unless we really reframe the problem. Not unless we start thinking about what has to be done and recognizing how radically the system has to be transformed. We have a very hospital-centric system. We have hugely invested in a hospital-based system. We have starved community care. We have a highly specialist-based system. We've starved primary care. And we have to flip those.
Well, I remain skeptical with you because that is obviously my name, the Healthy Skeptic. let's talk about a little other issue you talk about in the book, the fact that human beings love to take pills. Do you see that as an American problem only, or is it really universal?
Well, I don't actually know. I do know that we take a lot more. We have a lot more prescriptions per capita than an awful lot of people in the developed world. And some of those drugs are, let's be clear, some drugs are truly amazing. Goodness we have insulin. Thank goodness we have steroids. Thank goodness we have all kinds of drugs. But we have a tendency in the United States to sort of think that all problems can be solved with a pill, and that tendency is aided and abetted by a drug industry that is making a very tidy profit on selling as many medications as possible.
Yeah. Unfortunately, when you wrote in your book a little bit about the CEO of Merck, Henry Gadsden, who wanted Merck to be more like Wrigley Spearmint Gum, where everybody would have a pill just like chewing gum, and unfortunately, his dream has actually become realized. Everybody is taking a pill. Everybody wants a pill. So I think we're going to have to stop there. I would like to thank you for your time today. Can you tell us how we can get a hold of you on the internet if we want to read more?
At www.lownninstitute.org. That's Lown, L-O-W-N, like gown.
I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic. Remember, never let anyone else do your thinking for you, and stay skeptical, my friends.